It is that time where we get our view from the middle. He's on site getting ready for the first round of games, and quite a slate he shall see. Follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. See what he's up to for USA Today in the red section or online, usatoday.com. George, how are things in scenic Wichita?
Good.
You know, we've spoken in recent weeks about the FBI scandal in college basketball. And now in response, this article you wrote about Larry Scott and the Pac-12 determined that before we get into the specifics, it's just the NCAA, Larry Scott, has kind of issued a 60-page report. But before we come up with incredible fixes or means to limit corruption, without the NBA on board, is it all kind of lip service?
Well, yeah. Listen, I mean, they have a kind of a laundry list of things they think need to be done that the Pac-12 task force has come up with, some of which, many of which, have been sort of posited by other people. Many of those same kinds of things are probably the same kind of stuff this NCAA commission that Condoleezza Rice is heading will probably come up with some similar recommendations and maybe some differences. And so, you know, there's no one, as Larry Scott said, there's no one silver bullet that's going to fix stuff in college basketball. I'm not even sure that if you've got all this stuff to happen, that it would fix what's wrong with college basketball. It might go a ways towards, helping. But yes, you're right. I found most of it to be sort of aspirational type of stuff because the biggest two pieces of it are things that I don't think the NBA is going to go along with. They're out of the NCAA's control, the one-and-done rule. That's an NBA rule, as you know.
Right.
They may well decide to get rid of that and allow players to come right out of high school again, to be drafted out of high school. But the second piece of it, which makes a lot of sense for the NCAA, would be if you could talk the NBA into then sort of doing the Major League Baseball sort of system where they either draft kids out of high school or they wait until after their third year out of high school if a kid actually goes to college. I don't see any real reason why the NBA would go that far and do that. I mean, I understand that would really help things out on the college level in a lot of ways, but I don't see how that benefits the NBA in any way, shape, or form to say, okay, not only will we get rid of the one and done, we'll draft kids out of high school again, but if they go to college, we won't touch them until after the third year out of high school. So to me, it's great to talk about all this stuff, but you know, Steve, you would probably like to be drafted by the Knicks, and it's not going to happen. You know, they don't have to draft you. You can declare yourself eligible for the draft all you want. It's not going to happen. And so, so that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is I don't have great hope that even though I do think that we kind of reached a critical mass where people consider some change inside the NCAA, I don't have a great hope that they'll get all of those kinds of things done, even on the stuff the NCAA can control, just because it's, you know, there's a whole lot of inertia, and it's hard to get it all put together, and everybody has a slightly different idea of what should be done, and sometimes that sort of paralyzes the process.
First of all, I want to point out, do you know how bad the Knicks are? They'd be lucky to have me at this point.
Well, I would encourage you to declare for the draft then. Just go for it, see what happens. Hey, one other thing, too. I actually think the other piece of this, and this is one of the parts the NCAA could control if it wanted to, one of the pieces that the Pac-12 came up with that made a lot of sense is, and they're not the first, they're not the only, but the idea that you would allow, again, similar to what college players can do with Major League Baseball, they would allow some sort of agent representation without sort of penalizing their eligibility as they sort of consider these life choices. I think that's a good idea, and it would quench at least some of the unethical maneuvering by agents in violation of NCAA rules if you just simply change the rules a little bit. I think that's a good idea. And then the NCAA allowing players, if they're drafted but don't sign a contract, to come back to school, or if they were high school kids and they got drafted and they decided to come to school instead, I don't think that would happen. But that would be a great rule, too. I mean, there's some really good ideas in here, and maybe some of them are going to get adopted. I don't think all of it's going to happen.
No, it's a great piece, and it's really deep, folks. Check it out online, usatoday.com. I want to get to the tournament. I have kind of a pet peeve. Last night, there were two conference tournament champs, LIU and Radford. Tonight, it's NC Central and Texas Southern. They're in this first four, and I know you've been to a lot of these first weekends where there's eight schools, pep squads, cheerleaders. It's like March Madness in all its glory. And my theory is, if you've earned the automatic invite, you should be a part of that. And these first four games, the so-called play-in games, they should be exclusively for bubble teams. What do you think about that?
I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's probably as much as you and I have ever agreed in life, and we should both reevaluate. I think if you wanted to say it's always 11 seeds, which is kind of what it works out to when it's not sort of the automatic qualifiers, always 11 seeds, always at-large teams. I'd be okay with that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I don't disagree with you, because part of the magic of the tournament is getting to go to the open practice day, having the fans at that site applaud you, and sort of getting to stay at the cool hotel, and especially for these teams that are the automatic qualifiers from these very small conferences that are going to be, 16 seeds usually that have no shot at winning. Now, I'm at a regional site where they're actually talking about a team that maybe has a chance to win as a 16 seed. I don't know that I'm going to predict Penn to beat Kansas, especially in Wichita, which is going to be a little bit like Fog Allen Fieldhouse West. But typically the pageantry of sort of the day before the tournament and the day of the tournament is the reward. And you're right. Look, Dayton is a cool site for the first four. It's not quite being in the NCAA tournament. I don't disagree with you.
All righty. We're talking NCAAs with George Schroeder. He's in the Wichita bracket with Kansas at number one. They'll play the 8-9 Seton Hall NC State. You got Michigan there. This season, we talked earlier, it looked like that Kansas grip on the Big 12 might slip away. Lo and behold, they win the regular season. They win the conference tournament. And we've talked about how they don't have that great, great roster. But, man, the irony, George, couldn't be lost that of all the teams, this one ended up in the Final Four.
Well, you're right. And maybe if they do, because they have some sort of a grit and a toughness, and they definitely have demonstrated that. Look, I don't think the Big 12 was the best league in the country. It certainly didn't have as many top-tier teams, but it might have been the deepest league. Basically, only one of their 10 teams was a gimme, and that was Iowa State. Everybody else could beat you night in and night out. And yet, with probably their lightest talent, and certainly maybe the best, not the and smallest, they're a four guard rotation, they found a way and became a difference, won, as you said, the conference and the conference tournament. I'm not picking them to win this bracket, the Midwest bracket. I think it's a tough bracket. You got Duke on the other side at the two. You got Michigan State, that's my pick, at the three. Really good, and I think Kansas may have a cold shooting. I think home, but you're right. It would be kind of ironic if that's the team that sort of broke through. And given how talented teams have struggled for Bill Self.
Okay, George, you're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure exactly where you are. So you like Michigan State, I guess. Why don't we get to who you like in each region, and maybe to win the whole thing.
Right. I can do that. Give me just a second. I'm walking out the door, okay?
Sure. Talking with George Schroeder.
I'm in the bowels of an arena. That's how life goes. But now, I'm outside. It's a beautiful day, but it's Kansas windy, so that may be a problem too.
All right, why don't we do an abbreviated and just give me your four winners and who you think might walk away with the trophy at the end.
Yeah, listen, I've got Michigan State. I wish you'd have asked me this while I was sitting at my computer, because I filled out a bracket like we all have to. But I've got Michigan State coming out of the Midwest. I've got Arizona. I've got Villanova. And I've got who's the two seed in the other bracket? That's who I have.
Well, there's the two seeds are Cincinnati, Purdue, Duke, and North Carolina.
Okay, I had North Carolina. And then I have Villanova over Arizona.
Wow. Wildcats and Wildcats and more Wildcats. All right,
well,
George.
I didn't want to go chalk. This is a weird year. This is a year when I think a lot of teams could, you know, 7 or 8 teams could win it, and nobody is just head and shoulders better than everybody else like you see some years.
No, you're very symmetric. You've got a 1, 2, a 3, and a 4. You could have a second career as somebody who operates a parade. So you enjoy. I think you're going to see a really entertaining couple of days. Always a pleasure. We'll see where we stand in a week, George.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.